Luke, the 17th chapter, verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, which when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, really a cultural nothing in that day and time. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." Called him a stranger because he was a Samaritan, and they just really didn't recognize Samaritans as having any significance at all, but Jesus did. Finally, in verse 19 of chapter 17 of Luke's gospel, he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. I'd like to minister for a while on the power of a thankful heart. The power of a thankful heart. Maybe not saying anything that you've not heard before, but re-emphasizing something that I believe is part of what we need in America. Most advertising is designed to make you unthankful for what you already have. You can't live without this piece of clothing. You can't live without this. You can't live without that. Life's really in this, or life is really in that. But the power of a thankful heart, I think, gives us insight even into revival. It's impossible to have revival in your heart and be unthankful, because the Bible tells us in Timothy that part of the end time is to be unthankful, which is unholy. God doesn't mind you having things. We believe that. We preach that. He came to give us life and that more abundantly. But nothing, no thing should ever be bigger in your life than Jesus. So let me just go through a simple analogy of Luke chapter 17 as we think of the power of a thankful heart. You know, a thankful heart is a faith decision. I choose to be thankful. I choose to be grateful. I choose to thank God that things are as good as they are, and they're getting better every day. The Bible said there was a certain village. It could be anywhere metroplex. It could be anywhere USA. It could be anywhere all over the world. Because what a lot of people do not realize is we have third world situations in the metroplex. There's places you better not go at night. And you better keep both eyes open during the daytime and keep moving. We have third world situations in the greater Fort Worth and the greater Dallas area, with all of our police and fire and with all the protection that we have. There was a certain village. Now, as we look at this certain village, I want you to just hold steady with me just for a moment on this certain village. Because in this village is something that you'll find in every village one way or another. I know leprosy is not a problem today. It still is a problem in different parts of the world. But there were 10 hopeless lepers who will die if they do not receive a miracle from God. Anyone that knows how to study the Bible realizes that leprosy from the Old Testament into the New Testament had that dark shadow of sin. Leprosy is a type of sin. And you can go to heaven with a sick body, but you can't go to heaven with a sick heart. Well, you know the truth of that. You would not arrive in heaven with a sick body, but you understand what I'm saying. If you had to take the choice between the two, you need to get right with God. And I want to be thankful to God for what happened here this morning and what happens here every time we open the church doors, that people come to Jesus in every public service of Calvary Cathedral International. I do not take for granted. You say, well, I've seen one or two faces before. Probably have. But I tell you, there's some faces that keep coming forward that I keep hearing information about, that God changed my life on a Sunday morning, or God changed my life on a Sunday night, or God changed my life in a midweek service. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's impossible to have, over the many, many years, seen the Billy Graham Crusades without saying, you know, that's part of what's right with America. It's part of what's right with America. God raise up a host of other Billy Grahams, though there'll never be another one just like him, to just in power and simplicity, to have a life that's beyond reproach, a life that's never had doctrinal scandal, never had moral scandal, that just keeps telling people that Jesus is the answer. Pray for this precious man. He needs our prayers in his body as he's being challenged at this time. But there was a certain village, 10 hopeless lepers who will die if they do not receive a miracle from God. We'll turn the coin over. There are people all over the Metroplex who will die in their sins and go to a devil's hell if their hearts are not made right with God. They're in jails, they're in hospitals, they're in your neighborhood where you live. They fly the airplanes that you fly on. They eat in the restaurants that you eat in. A certain village. But there's something that rose above a certain village as Jesus was passing through. There was a certain cry. I see no reason not to say that all 10 lepers cried out to Jesus at the same time. If you heard that someone who could meet your financial need was passing by and there were 10 of you, there would be 10 voices saying, I need some money. Or I need this, or I need that. As far as I can determine, all 10 lepers cried out to Jesus because he heard their cry. And they were crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. It was a targeted prayer. It was a targeted cry. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. A cry for mercy still touches the heart of Jesus. I said a cry for mercy still touches the heart of Jesus. When you come before his court, you don't plead your own innocence. You don't plead how badly others have treated you. You just say, mercy. Mercy. Mercy, O God. His mercy rewrote all of our names that are born again believers in this service today. A cry for mercy still touches the heart of Jesus. You know, Jesus stopped dying on the cross long enough to save a thief who said, remember me this day. The tough guy went into eternity. He was playing tough guy to the very end. One of the biggest fools that ever lived and one of the biggest fools that ever died, because he was right next to forgiveness. And he looked at Jesus and railed on Jesus, but there was the man at the next cross who said, remember me this day. You say, that theologically is not enough prayer to get saved. Sometimes there are prayers that break the backs of words. Who can pray the perfect prayer? Sometimes two or three words, even mercy, can speak a volume that comes from the heart. Well, his prayer worked. And Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Jesus stopped dying on the cross long enough to forgive a dying thief who cried out, remember me. So there was a certain village. There was a certain cry, mercy, mercy. And there was a certain targeted compassion. He saw them. When he saw them, he saw them. He sees you. He sees you. He sees me today. There was a targeted compassion. When he saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. Now they didn't stop and argue why he didn't pray the complete prayer and said, you are healed or your miracle takes place right now. What he was looking for was some obedience. That was the way that it worked then. You go show yourself to the priest, and if the priest says that you're clean, then you're clean. You can return to society. He said, be obedient. Do what you can do. Do something on your part. Jesus was the healer, but they were the ones that were obedient. So there was a certain compassion. When he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself to the priest. And Jesus had compassion then, and Jesus has compassion now. Compassion is God's love in action. It's the simplest definition I've found, and there are many others that are worthy and wonderful. There was a complete miracle of God because, what do you know, as they went in obedience to the Lord, they obeyed Jesus, and when they obeyed Jesus, on the way, they saw that they were healed. The man whose leprosy was on his hand, he looked down and his hand was cleansed. Another man said, look at my face where that terrible place was. And he said, man, I don't see it. And somehow there was a knowing among them that as they were going on their way to show themselves to the priest, that they were healed. They obeyed. And you know, I believe with all of my heart in giving to God. I remember my father-in-law was a powerful preacher. He said, you know, I'd a lot rather be on the man's side who tries to give his way to heaven than the man who tries to hitchhike to heaven. Because the hitchhiker said, I want to ride in your car. I want to ride on your car payment. I want to ride on your insurance. I want to ride on your gas, your oil, your tires. And if you have a wreck, I'll sue you. That's what a hitchhiker says. When I was in college, I did some hitchhiking, so I understand that. No, you cannot buy one thing that God has to give to you. You can't buy one thing, not one sin forgiven, not one healing in your body. You cannot buy anything that God has. But there is a response of obedience. They obeyed the Lord. And as they obeyed the Lord, something wonderful happened. Now there's another interesting insight here. A certain one man out of 10 people. A certain one man out of 10 lepers. One out of 10. When he saw that he was healed, he said, there's just one thing to do. I'm going back and give thanks. The other nine said, man, I haven't lived in a long time. I have a lot of plans. I'll see you later. You can do what you have to do. But I'm going to get on with my life. And so they decided to do whatever they do. I want to start just dropping the plow a little deeper here this morning. And God forbid that one out of ten in this audience today is unthankful. I mean, is thankful. And that nine out of ten are not thankful. Ask yourself the question, am I thankful? Am I really thankful? You know, no one owes you anything. The world doesn't owe you a living. We're in a society that wants everybody to do everything for them and for them to do nothing about anything. God forbid that the ratio would be in this church or in any other church or in our nation. But I wonder if this is sort of one of those things that you can look at then and you can look today and say, you know, there's only about one out of ten in the world that's thankful for the blessings in their life. Nine felt no obligation whatsoever to say thankful. You know, boy, you run into this time and time again. Someone you meet them, they're down on their luck. Everything in their life is on the bottom. Their job is either in jeopardy or gone. Their marriage is in jeopardy or gone. I mean, everything in their life is just, I mean, their whole life is on hold. And you see the power of the gospel of Christ come into people's lives and make a difference. And he keeps coming back to church, and he keeps coming back to say thank you to Jesus. And even when some of the past tried to rock his boat, and he was not able to do that for a few weeks, he just let his light shine where he was and ministered to others where he was and testified where he was and started giving Bible studies of what he had learned here, there. And he's back, and praise God, that's another closed chapter behind him. I want to say it, and I'll say it many more times. God blesses a thankful heart. Thank God for the breath you breathe. Thank God for the forgiveness of your sins. Thank God for the salvation of God. Thank God for everything. Go through the hospital. Go through intensive care. Go through the emergency rooms. Go to the jails. Go to the prisons. You'll be so thankful when you can walk away back into the free world again. And I know Jesus is there, but you know what I'm talking about. Some of you do, and I pray some of you never do know that. A certain 1 out of 10, he saw that he was cleansed. Man, God's changed my life. Those terrible spots that were there, they're not there. And with a loud voice, he returned to the Lord. He turned back. And with a loud voice, you say, I believe we should be quiet and sedate. You know, I get a little tired, and you do too, of giving all the, listen to the hockey games, and listen to the basketball games, and listen to the football games. People go nuts. People go nuts. Folks, this is the real deal. Jesus is the real deal. You talk about a reason to turn cartwheels and shout and scream and get noisy and get all excited. Jesus is the reason. He's the real deal. And I'll tell you, when he came back to Jesus, the Bible said he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet. In that day and time, you could not humble yourself any lower than to put yourself on your face before somebody. And that man came back to Jesus. He had no future plans. He had nothing else to do. He said, this man said, go show yourself to the priest while I was going. I was one of those others that discovered that I was healed. And he returned as quickly as his feet would take him. And when he found Jesus, he cast himself on the ground before Jesus. And the Bible said, with a loud voice, with a loud voice, with a loud voice, giving thanks unto Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Are our thanks as loud as our pleas for mercy? Oh, Lord, what are those lights behind me? Oh, Lord, I'll never speed again. Oh, Lord, I'll change all my ways. All my life will be different from this. Lord, just help me, help me, help me. And with great joy, you see that he passes you to go get someone else. And then you put the pedal back to the metal. Never mind, Lord. That wasn't the real deal. Are our thanks as loud as our pleas for mercy? Well, I tell you, you pastor, you have a lot of opportunities to cry out, God, if you don't help me, I've had it. Our church has had it. How many times have we all, so many of us in this room been there, and we've all been there whether we recognized it or not. But when this man saw that something was different in his life, when this man saw that what had plagued him, for whatever period of time it had plagued him and it was cleansed, there was only one thing to do. Let's go back to the man and be thankful. And to say, thank you, sir. Thank you, Lord. But you know, there's an interesting aspect of Jesus here. You would have thought Jesus would have just been glad to take what he could find. But you know, Jesus can count. He not only did very well in math, he invented math. And Jesus looks at the man, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Where are the other nine? You know, even today, Jesus sees who is thankful and who is really not thankful. In using it in one way or another, I quickly counted about 128 times through the Old and the New Testament that thanks or thanksgiving or thankful was used in some form. There might have been some that did not relate exactly to what I'm saying, but just a quick number there, about 128. Let's say there were 100 that were right on target. Jesus sees today who is thankful, and he sees who is not. Oh God, give us an attitude of gratitude for every blessing of God. We thank God for parents, grandparents, fellow believers, friends, and food and clothing and shelter, for a church. Most of all for Jesus, the salvation of God, the cross, even to have a church home. We were sitting in a restaurant this past week, and, you know, I guess it was still in the hour when some folks were taking advantage of happy hour. And it's interesting, notice about three tables around us, nice looking folks until they got a few things under their belt, and then people began to, and I said, Joy, you know, is America really thankful for the blessings of God that we have? Then they begin to fuss about this and fuss about that and fuss about this. And, you know, we're just whiners and gripers, you know, and fuss about the server and fuss about the drinks and fuss, of, you know. And I don't know, something's been just going over and over in my heart all week. Oh, God, I want to be thankful. God, I want to be thankful. Things don't have to be as good as they are. Things don't have to be good at all. And even if things are bad, you're still ahead with 98% of the rest of the world. That's true. No wonder the rest of the world thinks that we're wealthy. I can understand that. By their standards, we are. So there was a certain continuing miracle that started here. Jesus looked at that man that is thankful. And theologically, I cannot prove it. But I honestly believe the nine did not keep their healing. Maybe so, maybe no. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But Jesus looked at that dear man who was there before him. This man who fell at his feet, and all he could say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a loud voice he said it. And Jesus said, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You see, Jesus sees and blesses thankful hearts, and Jesus ties faith into thankfulness. Maybe one of the reasons our faith is not working properly is that it's not coupled with thankfulness. Lord, don't you see the needs that I have? Your need does not constitute your need being met. God blesses thankful people. And I've thought back many times, my father was an attorney and dad was blessed in the latter part of his life, but I was the first boy, and in my time of growing up, things weren't as blessed as they were with my two brothers. By a long shot. And in looking back and in going over papers and different things when Dad and all the family went home to be with the Lord, there was a new awareness in my heart of some of the sacrifices that my father made for some of those vacations we took. For some of the things that were accomplished, for some of the things that, even though it was better later on, that even it was as good as it was. Folks, God blesses thankful people. That's what scares me about this war thing. We're raising a generation that's afraid to fight for anything. We're afraid to fight for anything. No, we should not be warmongers, and no, we shouldn't go start a war just to start a war. But both parties have had wars over the years, so don't get lost in that one. But I tell you, we need to realize, we need to teach our children, there's a time you may have to work two jobs. There's a time you may have to work three jobs. I know of any number of single parents that work three jobs just to put bread on the table for their children. You say, Pastor, where in the world are you going? I came here to you to build me up. Just stay with me. I'm going to help you this morning. Folks, we need to be thankful that things are as good as they are. Recognize that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And thank God for the privilege of doing whatever you have to do what you have to make it. Thank God for this land called America that you can do that type of thing on a temporary basis if you have to. I was working on a church staff and working a midnight shift over in Dallas. Try to pay bills because the salary was pitifully small. Whole time I was an associate minister, I never had an office of my own. You didn't either. So where's your office? Well, we didn't have offices back there. We were assistant pastors with a name portfolio, but not with an office. We'd had an office, we'd have felt like total big shots. You know, when we look around, just be thankful. Just be thankful. Be thankful that things are as good as they are. Be thankful. My dad came from a farm in Seymour, Texas. Grandmother passed away. Granddad had fallen on hard times in the farm there in Seymour. Dad had to work three jobs to work his way through Baylor Law School. Graduated with high honors. And he said it built character into him. Of course, working on a farm, it equipped him to be able to do longer hours maybe. But I look back and I thank God for that. I say, God, help us never to be so soft that we think our parents have to give us everything. Or, you know, that everything has to come from falling off a tree somewhere. We need to be thankful that things are as good as they are. Thank God for food to eat. There's places in the world, they're not fasting, they just don't have food to eat. Thank God you have food to eat. So there was a certain continuing miracle. Arise, Jesus said to this man. Go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And I believe that he kept his healing. God sees and blesses thankful hearts. Oh, how we need to build this into our children and grandchildren. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for a clean bed at night. Be thankful for food and clothing and shelter and Nikes and all the other things that go with our society. Ephesians 6:1 says many things, but it said, children, obey your parents, that you may have a long life and a blessed life. Show me any secular television program that is promoting a godly relationship with father and mother and children. We've got the biggest bunch of trash on television we have ever had since television came on the air. Sassing one another, smart mouthing, trash mouthing. I mean, parents, I'm just going to hit it every once in a while. Don't let that go on in your home. You own the set, you own the button, get the scissors out and clip the cord if you have to. Don't let that kind of garbage persist in your home. You want to know where that yeah, yeah and rebellion's coming from? They learn it straight from the tube. Yeah, moving along. 2 Timothy 3 said in the last days there would be perilous times in the end times. Children disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. It is unholy to be unthankful. And I've had to get on my knees in preparation for this message and say, Lord, cleanse any area of my life. Sure, we always want things bigger and better and we want to see things, more things in our life, but my Lord, have mercy. God, help us to be thankful that things are as good as they are. A little adversity, a little hardship doesn't hurt anybody. Amen. Doesn't hurt anybody. Praise God. And I want to say to children today, you say, well, my parents are dysfunctional. Well, I think everybody has a streak of dysfunctional in them outside of the blood of Jesus. If you know anybody long enough, deep enough, you'll find something. You'll find a strain of dysfunction somewhere. Now, if that makes you mad, the altars are open. You say, why did you say that? Because I think it's true. My family was dysfunctional. Well, God used them to get you here. Whatever they were, whatever they weren't, they got you here. They fed you, kept you alive. Put some clothes on your back and kept you going. I'm not trying to be foolish. It's kind of scary when I look. We're raising a generation that's afraid to fight. We're afraid to work. You say as your parents, you'd wake up next week. Now they get you for abuse. Help us, God. What I'm trying to say this morning is this. There were 10 lepers. That's where we all were. The sin of leprosy. They heard that Jesus was passing by. Maybe they came to church on a Sunday morning. Maybe the neighbor went next door to witness. Maybe the man on the job witnessed. I don't know how it all happened. But Jesus came by. And they cried, have mercy, Jesus, Master, have mercy. You know, he still makes house calls. He still makes heart calls. He still changes lives. He still comes to schools. And he's out on the streets. And 10 men go to the priest. On their way to the priest, they're cleansed. But only one returns to give thanks. The bottom line of my message today is this. God, give us thankful hearts. Help us to understand the power of thankfulness unto God. The world doesn't owe you a living. There are no guarantees in life. There are no guaranteed free lunches. Somewhere you're going to have to learn to do some sacrificing, some working, some giving, some whatever. But the same God who found you in leprosy will be with you, for he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's going to be with you to the ends of the earth. In the jail the other day, and I looked into the face of a young man, my heart went out. It's hard to tell a young person when they're on top of Fool's Hill. Doesn't make any difference who I run with. Doesn't make any difference where I sleep. Doesn't make any difference whose car I'm in. Doesn't make any difference what I drink. Doesn't make any difference little this, little that. Doesn't make any... Yeah, just one time. One night. One arrest, one false start. You might have had a perfect record, but you're entering another world. My message this morning is a multi-jaded message, I suppose. But you know, even this is true for preachers. Man, look at the ministers that I've known through the years who are no more. They're either gone into eternity or they're out of business. I read something that challenged me years ago. Paul said that I might finish my course with joy, the ministry that God's given me. If God thought enough of me to call me into the ministry with all the negatives and all the baggage that he took on board, which of course was nothing for him, I want to finish this course with joy. I want to do the right thing. I want to run with the right people. I want to keep the right attitude. I want to keep a thankful heart. I don't want to become bitter or sour or crusty. I want my heart to be tender. I want to be like Jesus, that when I meet a leper that returns, that I can say, you'll keep it. Go your way. Oh, praise be unto God. Didn't read the whole story. Joel was telling me about a U.S. hockey team. The coach I don't even know if the coach thought they could do it, but he challenged them anyway. Of course, as you know, the Russian athletes and others, you know, they're professional athletes and totally funded by the government. And his kids were just college kids. But he convinced those kids that they could beat the big boys. They could beat the professional athletes. They could beat the guys that are tough and mean in hockey. And somehow those boys got it in their heart, got it in their spirit, they could win. And they did. Church, I want you to get something in your spirit today. It's not how tough life is. It's not the hand that's dealt you. It's not what has been or what hasn't been. Just get it in your heart. If God be for me, who can be against me? Because take it from the coach, the big coach. He died on the cross for you to be a winner. He didn't die on that cross for you to be a loser. He died on that cross for you to be a winner. And for you to have life and to have it much more abundantly. Yeah, the devil will tell you you've missed something. Yeah, we've missed hell. We've missed... Well, I won't get into all the stuff we've missed. I got into enough, but there's... Thank God for what I missed. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Calvary.